Oh, no, I'm going to shake your hand, man. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, if somebody asks me where I'm from, that's the hardest question you can ask me. It started with my parents. I blame it on them. They were military, so we moved every 2 or 3 years. It's just in my DNA. So if I start to tell you where I'm from, it sounds like I'm running for the law. So, but I'm not, really. I'm legal, and I pay my taxes. And I married a legal alien. She's from Norway. There's my beautiful wife, Åsa. Wave. Speaks about 6 languages, yells fluently in all of them. we're still working in Mexico, and we do have a ministry in Colorado now, so we are based in Houston, so that's where home is right now, Houston. I don't, why? Houston, Texas. Anybody been to Houston? Raise your hand. That's a horrible place, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, but that's just hot and humid, you know, and there's like 6 million people living there, and I feel like a foreigner. You gotta read the road signs and everything else in another language. It's just crazy. But it's a good place to be because we still have our ministry in Mexico City. And like I said, we launched something in Colorado in July of this year for at-risk teens through the juvenile probationary court system in Harris County, Houston. Any given day, there's 200 kids locked up in Houston, Texas, in the probationary court system there. And for whatever reason, God, about 2 days after arriving in Houston, God gave us grace with the judicial system. There are 5 judges that run the courts there, and 2 of them signed off on our program. There's usually a stack of paperwork about this much to be affiliated and work with and be a part of the probationary court system there in Houston and Harris County. And I filled out one form. I filled out one piece of paper. The probationary officers asked me, how did you do that? I said, it's God. You know, when God wants to do something, he does it, amen? And so God gave us some open doors and grace there, and so we're excited about that. Houston just became a good place to centralize what's going on. Still happening down in Mexico. We still have our OSY ministry reaching out-of-school youth from the streets of Mexico City. Just got good news a couple days ago. Our plans for 2014, we have 30 evangelistic outreaches planned for the teens off the streets of Mexico City. That's targeting about 10,500 kids for 2014, and we're adding this next year what we're calling a discipleship experience for them also. Those who profess or come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior in an evangelism experience, now we've set up 15 experiences for them to go a little bit further and talk about the next steps in their life. So we're excited about that. Pray for us there because we've been given a pornographic. Wait, let me finish the whole thing before you start. What in the world? What's this preacher talking? Let me finish, okay? As soon as you hear pornography, your minds are going all over the place. But we have been given a pornographic theater that shut down, okay? So nobody's using it anymore, and all the stuff's been cleaned out. But it's right in the middle of Tepito, Mexico. Tepito is the largest black market in Latin America. That's where we get the majority of our kids that go to the camps, from the streets and the gangs that run and push all the product there in Tepito. And anyway, we crossed two trips that I took ago down there to Mexico. We crossed the other side of the line in Tepito. We'd been working on one side because we had a drug cartel leader who accepted Christ as his savior, and now he's a preacher. He's got a church in Tepito. Incredible, you know. Now he's not pushing product. Now he's pushing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just phenomenal what's happening there. But on his side of the tracks, we have peace and we're secure and we don't feel at in danger at all. As a matter of fact, when my family and I, my wife, 3 daughters, whenever we go there, they assign bodyguards to us. It's pretty cool. We can just walk down. We have, and Karen. Yeah, my other daughter. And when we go down there, they assign bodyguards to us all. And, you know, we walk through there and we probably are threatened and targets, but we don't even know about it. They just cut things off before it ever happens with us. So a couple of trips ago, I crossed the line. We went to the other side of the street where Lalo isn't recognized. And things got a little tense in the beginning. One of the problems was I had a video camera. I was really stupid, you know, big, tall, gringo guy with a video camera and going, hey, let me film your black market activity. Not real smart. But anyway, we had some bodyguards jump in and, you know, slowly but surely you could just see things diffused. But that allowed us entrance into that part of the town. The owner of this theater is not a Christian. He just heard about what we'd been doing with young people. And you have to understand, since we started in 2008 with this ministry, about 40,000 young people have come and been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over 10,000 of them have made professions of faith, and 51% of those professions of faith have followed Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. God is moving. And so when you touch and share the gospel with 40,000, yeah, give God a hand. I mean, God is good. So when you touch that many lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will give you favor. And this gentleman heard about what was happening on the other side of the road, and maybe he felt a little jealous that that wasn't happening to his kids on his side of the road, you know. So anyway, he opened up the facilities to us. We would like to develop that this year into a connection center. And a feeding center. A feeding center for adults that work in that area. Again, it's a black market area, and there's also a legal market, and the market is 7 days a week and shuts down, you know, right around dark. As soon as the lights, you know, street lights come on, the vendors are gone. But after that comes a new population, especially in this block where this old theater is. There's about 30 families that live there, and they make their living cleaning the streets. These are the poorest of the poor. They look for the cardboard that's laid on the ground, the plastic bags, the water bottles, things like that, and they will recycle that. That's how they make their living. So we decided, let's start a feeding center for these 30 families. And this was to erase the board, but I might need it like this. But it moves me when I see and remember how God works and moves. But these 30 families, very needy. We had money, funds for food. We decided, let's feed them on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. That's all. One meal in the evening when they come out to clean the streets. We had food for that 1 week, finances to buy food for that 1 week. But that's all we had. Let's go for it. That's all we can do. That's all we have right now is Tuesday and Thursday. We did it. After Thursday, the finances for our feeding center were done. Well, the next week, the owner of the theater heard about what had happened, and he said, "So where do you get your food?" And we said, "Well, if we had the funds, you know, this is what we do." He says, "So where do you get your funds?" "Well, we don't have any more." "All right, I'll take care of it." So since that day, every Tuesday and Thursday, this non-believing businessman has been buying the food for the feeding center. You know, unbelievable. I mean, it's just one of those things. When you just take a step of faith, when you trust God, when you give God room to work in your life, He does some incredible things. So I don't know. My life is, very fluid. We move more often than I want to. I would just like to put some roots down, but then I keep remembering, no, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Wherever God needs me, whatever He needs me to do, I'm fine with that. I'm just glad I'm still in the game. Amen? I want to stay in the game. So today what I'd like to do is just share a little bit about, you know, there are some messages in your life, and you can think about it. If you've been in church for a while, there were a couple of messages that, man, when you heard those things, it just stuck. It just changed your life. It was a game changer for you. You know what I'm talking about? One of them, hopefully, is that message of salvation. When you heard that message, I don't even remember the preacher, but I remember him preaching, and I remember the altar call, and as a 10-year-old boy, I could not wait for that moment to just come forward. And they said, "What do you want?" I just want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. That was a message that impacted my life and changed my life for eternity. And there's a few messages like that throughout my Christian experience and Christian life where I look at them and they just stuck. You know, they were pivotal points. They were landmarks. Well, this is one of those messages that had that kind of impact in my life that was just delivered and in such a way the Holy Spirit used it in my life to really, it was given in the context of finances. And I'm not really going to focus on finances today, but that's where this message was preached. But when it hit me and when the Holy Spirit, you know, drove that home in my life, it was like, "Alan, you can use that principle in every area of your life, you knucklehead. And if you would do that, you would have a game-changing move. You would have a game-changing strategy in your life." And so because it had such an impact on my life, I said, I got to talk about this. I really do. I would love to just keep talking about the mission field and the missions and what's going on there and tell you stories of lives that are changed. But you know what? We're going to see lives change, and you're going to tell those own stories as you avail yourself for God to work and move in your life. And so I think the key this morning is, let me just share what God's impassioned in my heart and what He's got me excited about right now. So if you'd open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, we'll go there in a little bit. And while you're doing that, I'm going to erase this play because that play, somebody's going to get hurt. And I'm going to come over here in a little bit and draw. I loved the music this morning. That was phenomenal. That was very, very good. I enjoyed that. And I really like that little area back there. I was thinking, let me preach from there. I got a wireless mic. I'd sit on one of those couches, you know, just kick back. Are you guys alive this morning? Are you ready for this to be over? Oh, okay, good. Because we're just getting started. I asked Pastor Joe, I said, what time do I end? He never gave me a time. He just said, you know, you can preach for like 45 minutes. No, that's too long. He says, maybe 15 minutes, 25. He just gave me some guidelines in there. So I don't even know what time I'm supposed to get done. So when you're ready to leave, go ahead. I won't even say anything about the Broncos season and how well they're doing, because I know that's a little sensitive with the kind of record that the Steelers have. So I won't mention anything about the Broncos and their winning season that they're having. Listen, I've put up with their losing streaks for a long time. So yeah, I'm going to kind of enjoy this year a little bit. Any Steelers fans here? No. Those are some brave people to this year admit that you're a Steelers fan. I'm proud of you. All right. Memories. I got great memories coming back here. You know, this is a beautiful area of Pennsylvania. Absolutely gorgeous. You cannot enjoy just the outdoors here. Went up to Ohio Pile the other day with my wife. I think that was one of the first things we did. She gets all romantic and frisky when we're up there. You know, it's just the changing of the leaves and stuff. She walks closer to me, you know, snuggles her neck, her head in my neck and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun. We feel younger. But when I was up there, I was remembering I had a cool job when I lived here. Besides being a pastor, that was cool, but I had a cool part-time job, weekend job. I worked up at Laurel Caverns as a cave guide. You know, they got the lighted part. How many have been to the lighted part of the Laurel Caverns? All right. How many have gone on the other tour, the three-hour tour? All right, yeah. I used to do the three-hour tour down there, and that was so much fun. But I remember one of my first experiences as a guide. They just threw me into that thing, man. I went one time all the way down to the bottom following another group and another guide. They came out, and the afternoon guide was sick. They said, Alan, can you take a group? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? They give you a map, and it doesn't have the dot that says you are here. So when you're down there, that map does no good at all. You know, so they gave me like eight people, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I didn't remember. I got lost, and it was horrible. Going down is fine. You just keep going down. Coming back up, it's like, you got eight people trusting you with their life to get them out of this thing. And I remember coming to this rock pile, and I'm thinking, I don't remember coming this way. Where do you go? It's a rock pile. There's nothing. And so I see this little hole, you know, I'm thinking, did I crawl through there? Maybe. And so they're like, which way do we go? Just a minute. So I put my little headlamp on there, adjusted and everything, and I start crawling through this little hole. As I'm crawling through this little hole, I'm working my way around thinking, oh Lord, I hope I can remember how to get out of here. These eight people need me, you know? And I come crawling through, and I'm about to break open. I can see my light going further out, and I'm about to break open, and I see somebody's boots. Oh my soul, I just went around in a circle. I crawled back out, looked up at them. They said, did you find the way out? I said, no, I know it's not that way. But it was a horrible, obviously we made it out. I still don't know how, but it was a horrible experience. And I remember there were times when I was leading guides down there, and we would go down in there and we would explore. After a while, I knew the cave fairly well, and there were some places where you could just play, you know. And so I'd go play, and I remember I got into one of these places, and I kept going back narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And pretty soon, I couldn't even move. I mean, it was like, I felt like the Cheese Whiz in the little squeeze tube, you know? That was it. It was like, wow, what do I do now? I can't turn around. And I'm too afraid to keep going further because this thing is just getting so small. And have you ever felt claustrophobic? That's a horrible feeling. Am I right? It's kind of fun feeling, but it's a horrible feeling. I kind of like the fear thing to try and get over the fear thing. So I don't really like being claustrophobic, but I like it in the fact that I think it's just a mental thing. You can beat this. So I remember being claustrophobic, and the fear, you know, that just, you just want to explode, but there's no room to explode.
There's nothing you can do. And all of a sudden, everything's panicking. Your little toes are panicking. Everything's panicking. Your mind is just wants to scream, you know. The only thing I could do there was reach up, turn my little light off, close my eyes, and just pretend I was in a big room. And after I could breathe again and settle down, then I started working my way out. But you know, if there's no wiggle room, if there's no room to move in our lives, it is stifling. It is a horrible place to be. This game-changing concept that I want to share with you today is about creating margin in your life. Those of you who are financial savvy and you plan and you invest, you probably heard that idea or that concept of a financial margin in your life. You know, create some margin. Don't just spend everything that you get. Don't just live paycheck to paycheck, you know. But that margin and that idea of a margin and building a margin in our life should apply to every area of our life. Let me illustrate it like this, and then we'll look at some scripture. Very simple. I'm going to draw a diagonal line and another one here and another one here. All right, this can represent anything in your life. This can represent the age of your life. This can represent an area of your life. But this is what I want to talk about right here. If we're talking about finances, this might be your salary that's up here. And this might be how many years you've been working. And here's a problem. We'll just use salary right now just because it's an easy visual, and then we can apply this to other areas of our life. Let's say this is my income. The more I live, the longer I live, promotions, jobs, whatever, my income typically is going to continue to go up. I'm not making the same I did when I was pumping gas full-time as a senior in high school in Denver, Colorado. All right, that was way back when gas was 85 cents a gallon. So you know I'm making a little bit more than I was back then. So this line should go up. The margin that I'm talking about is this. The problem is, if I make this much many times in my life, I will live a lifestyle to such a way that now I'm living on credit and borrowing, and I've got all this here that's really above my means, above my ability. Does that make sense? And unfortunately, a lot of the United States, our society, we're living above that line. We're not just living from paycheck to paycheck, but now we're living beyond that paycheck and we're borrowing. Does that make sense? And so we get in this area. This is a horrible place to live. Am I right? That place stinks. There's nothing fun about living there. It's not even living, folks. It's just barely surviving. What you're doing is slowly but surely killing yourself. Then, on the other hand, is I can have this line and I can spend everything I make. And I can live right on that line. Well, you know what? We're one financial disaster away from total bankruptcy. Whether that's a health issue or a car issue or whatever it is. But you know what? You can't just live right on that line and spend everything that comes in also. So the best thing to do and to create some space in our life and to have some breathing room is to create a margin and say, okay, if I make this much, I'm only going to live on this much. This is what I'm going to spend. This is what I'm going to live on. And look at the space, this margin that I create. This is the part that I want to talk about. When I talk about margin, that part of whatever area of our life that we deal with, we look at, whatever area of your life that the Holy Spirit touches this morning, think about that area of your life. Because it's there that you and I give God room to do what only God can do. If you and I live here, you know what we've said? We've said, God, I got it. I got it. There's no room for you because I got so much other stuff going on in my life. There's no room for you. I got this. And God's going to go, okay, it's yours. If I live right here, it's the same thing. It's like, God, you're there. I got you, but I'm right at it, man. I'm right on the line here. I can't do anything else. So somehow you got to create a margin for you. You got to create a margin to let God do what God wants to do in your life. Oh, let me give you a quick example. Since I started with the financing, we'll get off of this real quick. A lot of us struggle with that area of our life. That's why God created the tithe. You know, the tithe doesn't make much sense to us, but it makes a whole lot of sense to God. Because here's that line. I could take all 100 of my dollars that I get in a week, and I could spend all $100 for myself, live right on the line. Or I could say, you know what, I like the lifestyle of somebody who has $150 a week coming in. And so I could borrow, and I could live up here with all that stress and all that tension in my home and in my marriage. It's going to affect every area of my life when I live up there. Or I can say, wait a minute, God says 10% is His. Okay, I'm going to give Him $10. That gives me $90 that I'm working with. And so with that 10%, I start to create a little God margin. If I want to use all 100 of my dollars, what I'm saying is, God, I got this. And when I hit a problem, what am I going to say? I'm going to say, you know what? I need a second job. I need to work overtime. I need to get my wife outside working 40 hours a week. And I've now taken everything and put it back in my hands and said, I will control this, God. And I haven't given God any room in my life to work. But if I take 10%, I say, okay, God, this is your idea. Here it is. It's yours. You know what I just did? I created a little margin for Him to work. For God to do what only God can do. And that's a great place to be, amen? Because now the problem's His. Now when you come short, you say, God, you know what? I'm short. I gave you yours. You said to trust you. You said to try you. You said to prove you. I'm creating the space, God, for you to do what only you can do. And watch God miraculously work in your life. That's what I'm talking about. Creating that kind of margin in your life. If you look, got your Bibles open to Luke chapter 12, we'll start in verse number 15. Luke 12:15. It says, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Right? So He's talking about abundance, not just in things but that a man possesses, but in the abundance. That means filling up their life with stuff. Filling up their life. That's the context here. And then verse 16, and He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have, what are those next two words? No room where to bestow my fruits. You see, here's a guy who has filled up his life with stuff. There's no more room. There's no more room for stuff. There's no more room for who else? There's no room for God. There's a lacking of a God margin in this man's life. We do it all the time. You were probably busy just like me this last week, and we did so many things on our own and without creating moments and space for God to do what He wants to do. And we thought we were being good stewards. And we thought we were being responsible. And we thought we were being, you know, a good example. But it really, was it success or were we just pushing God out of the picture and saying, God, I got this? I say, let's take a step back and reevaluate every area of our lives and say, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to make sure that I am creating space for God to do His thing in my life. Does that make sense? The other day, my daughter told me, I got three daughters. One got married. Oh, why? But anyway, she got married, and then the other two are in college. The middle daughter, she's a senior at Sam Houston University, doing very well. She's been on the dean's list every year of her college career, and so she's really concerned about her grades. Well, the other day, she calls me. She's got about an hour and a half commute, doesn't she, to school. So she drives early in the morning, leaves at 6 in the morning, goes to school. She gets to the parking lot and she says, Dad, I'm going to study for a test today. Please pray for me. And I said, sweetheart, before you study for your test, create a God margin. Create a God margin. You could get there right away. And she drove early so she could study extra. And I thought, okay, you can get there and you can take that 15 minutes and you can pour it over the books. Or you can take part of that 15 minutes and create a God margin and say, you know what, God? I got a test that's coming up. But before I even look at those notes, God, I'm going to ask you to help me to understand and remember and create a God margin. Does that make sense? I mean, why don't we do that? You know, we could look at her and say, wow, she got up early. She went an extra half hour to class, early to class, so she could study and cram and review her notes. What a responsible student.
Yeah. She's saying, I can do this. I got it. I can do this. We don't need to say, I can do this. We need to say, God, I will do what I can, and then I need you to show up and do what only you can do, God. That's the margin I'm talking about. Here in verse number 17, where he says, there's just no more room. Verse number 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there shall I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Here's what happens in our lives. If we don't practice and think about and decide to create God margin, this is what we do. We come up with our own plan to resolve our own issues. Do you need a second job? Do you need to work overtime and spend less time at home and with the kids and with the family and not be as available for God's working in your life? Or do you just need to create some God margin in your finances and let Him take care of that stuff in miraculous ways? Does that make sense? But too many times we panic and we start putting together our own plan to resolve our own issues. And when we do that, all we've done is say, God, I'm sorry, no time, no time. No space in my life for you and your miracles. No space in my life for your power. No space in my life for your presence. God, I got all these things happening. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And we think we're doing it to be successful and responsible. But I think in the end, it's going to backfire on us. Look at the story, this parable that Christ continues to share here in verse number 19. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and he is not rich toward God. You see, God sees it differently. God sees your life, my life differently. All right? I'm going to take out a line of credit. I'm going to take out a second mortgage on the home. I'm going to resolve these issues. All I'm doing is just creating more of this area in my life and less of this God margin in my life. And we just need to step back and say, wait a minute, that's not the answer, God. I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with you. If it's a financial thing, just trust Him with that 10%. It's His plan. He says in Malachi to try Him, to prove Him. Trust Him with that. If it's another area of your life, start giving over part of that time and your resources and your abilities to Him. You know, so many times you come home, and I know the pressures. You know, I'm in the ministry, but that doesn't mean that I'm exempt from pressures and conflicts in the home and in my own life and in who I am. This new creature, but I still have this body of flesh, and with all its weaknesses, with all its carnal passions, there's always a conflict. It doesn't matter who we are. If you're a child of God, there's a battle, amen? And sometimes when you come home and you've got this conflict, the answer might be, oh, I just need to sit on the couch and vegetate in front of the TV for a while. All right, so that's your answer. And maybe for a few moments you feel good because you mindlessly watch something on television and you escape. But what did that do? Did that create any time for you and God? What I'm saying is, I'm not saying quit watching television. What I'm saying is, instead of sitting down and turning on the TV right away, maybe you should sit down and say, hey God, before I turn on the TV and watch my favorite show, I just want to meet with you. I just want to hear from you. If you want to tell me something, if you want to yell at me, I'm okay with that, God. But I need to hear from you right now. I'm just creating a little space, God, and I don't want to do this alone. I need you. I'm tense. I'm depressed. There's anxiety in my life. I'm worried. Whatever it is, here it is, God. I feel like escaping. I don't feel like waking up. Depression, whatever it might be, you can turn to the pills. You can turn to the alcohol. Maybe that soothes you. Maybe that comforts you. Maybe that relaxes you. What I'm saying is, why? Why choose that when you could say, no, I'm not going to choose this artificial temporal feeling. I'm going to choose and create in my life this space and say, no, God, you fill this. I need comfort. I need soothing. I need peace. I need tranquility in my life. God, I choose you now. Does that make sense? And it's not a hard thing to do, folks. But it is a decision. It is a game-changing decision.
in whatever area of your life. I'm not talking about revolutionizing and extremely making over your life. I'm not talking about getting rid of cable TV. I'm not talking about giving up, you know, everything in your life and becoming an Amish person. You know, it's not, I'm talking about just create a margin. Some space for God to work. You can't just be all trapped in there. There's no escape like that. Give him some room to move in your life. If you don't want him there, he will not force himself in. If you want to take care of your problems and resolve your own issues and find your own escapes, he'll let you. He's a great God. But if we would just say, hey, I'm letting you in. No matter how small it is, I'm letting you in. He's in. He's with you. He wants to be there. He loves you. Amen? In verse number 20, it says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? You see, God loves you. He doesn't want you to live with anxiety. He doesn't want to have you live with that discomfort and depression and fear. He doesn't want to have you living with that kind of pressure in your life and feeling like everything's caving in on you. He wants your life to be joyful, passionate. He gave us life. He gave us abundant life in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He wants us to live that. You and I, as Christians, we ought to be the most joyful, passionate, excited, guilt-free people in the world. Amen? But we don't live like that a lot of times. Why? Because we've squeezed God out of so many areas of our life, trying to do the right thing. And I applaud you for trying to do the right thing, but the right thing is create margin. Create some space for God to work. I was thinking the other day, it was a weird thought. I am a weird person, I really am. I was flying on an airplane from California, and I had my head down, you know, because I'm next to two big guys, and so it's like, I'm always thinking, why? And they both had to work on their laptops, you know, so it's like, man. So I'm like this, and just had my head down. While I had my head down, I was thinking these weird thoughts. Weird thoughts like, Alan, what if you were in an avalanche? In an avalanche, yes, on an airplane, I'm thinking about being in an avalanche. I love snow. And so I was thinking, okay, first thing I would do if I was buried is I would spit. You know why you spit, right? You find out which way's up and which way's down. So you spit, and whichever way is drooling, you know, okay, that's down, so I got to go the opposite direction. That's up. But then I'm thinking, and I keep my eyes closed, and I go, okay, I got that figured out. Now I got to start creating space and getting out of this thing. But how do you do that? You're buried, man. You can't, how am I going to dig a space out like this? There's no place to put the snow in, even if you move it with your fingertips. Where's it going to go? You're filling up all the space there. And as I was laying there thinking, or sitting there thinking this, my eyes closed, I was becoming claustrophobic. I was having a panic attack in, you know, 16B on that airplane. And I'm going, Alan, just open your eyes, dude. It's cool. You're not buried. But that's the thing. If there's no space, there's no rescue. There's no help. You will always feel like that, trapped. You will always be in that state of panic. Am I explaining myself? So create the space. Create the space so that God can give you that wiggle room, so that God can do what only God can do in miraculous ways. Create those margins. You know, if we don't create those margins, this is what happens. Let's go real quick to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. These are some sad, sad words here. Isaiah 5 and verse number 8. Woe unto them that join house to house,
that lay field to field, till there be no place, till there's no more room, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Doom to those who acquire house after house, who annex field to field until there is no room or no space left, and only you live alone in the land. That's what it's saying. You see, what happens is if we keep crowding God out in our lives and we keep adding things and looking for substitutes instead of Him and meditating on His Word and spending time thinking about Him and His work and His mission and His call and His will for our lives, instead of living the plan that He has for our lives, in our finances and in our marriages and our careers and everything, if we keep putting other things in there, that's a description of our life. Ultimately, we're alone. You've squeezed God out. You've left no space for Him. It wasn't that He removed His life, it's because you replaced Him and His plan and His process with other things. And the margin's gone. And God the whole time says, I got the answer, I want to work a miracle in your life, but you won't let me in. Just let me in. Just give me a little room. He's not even asking for the whole house. He says, give me a little room. Just consider me again. Stop what you're doing. Think about me. Meditate on my word. How long did it take there in Psalm chapter 51 for God to create a new heart in David? Instantaneously. This isn't something that you have to plan for the next 5 years. You can start creating a God margin right now. In this moment, before we even have an invitation, you can begin creating margin in your life for God to be there. It's got to be your choice. It's got to be your plan. It begins here, and I'll wrap it up with this verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7, beginning verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. You know what? I don't think that's the verse I wanted. It really isn't. That's a good verse, though. They're all good. Oh, my soul. How can you mess up the concluding verse, Alan? What a knucklehead. Wife, you wrote this message. What was it? Can I just go on my smartphone here and look for this verse? Because it really... Maybe it was 1 Corinthians. Maybe I just go there. Maybe I just did that. Nope, that's not it, because that says, nevertheless, avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. That's a good verse, too. But we're not talking about that right now. Oh, so I get this rating thing. Of all times, it pops up and says, would you like to rate this Bible program? No! No, I'm in the middle of a sermon here. I'm embarrassing myself as all get out. These people are waiting for this verse, and you're asking me trivial things like that. No, I'm not going to rate your stinking service, man. Holy cow, just let me find this verse for crying out loud. Cows are not holy. Just remember that. All right, I have to Google a phrase. I love these things, but this is really embarrassing. Anybody else sweating? Because I'm really sweating right now. I'm looking down, hoping when I look up, you're all gone. But I have a feeling you're still out there going, I just want to see this guy crash and burn, man. This is good. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know how I got this. I think I found it. 2 Corinthians, I was right the first time. Chapter was completely wrong. It's chapter 6. Well, that doesn't look right either. Oh, my soul. Okay, well. But
Oh, the phrase is no room. Yeah, go ahead, Google it faster than me. When I got this phone, I didn't even want an iPhone. My daughters got it for me, and they gave it to me, and they thought I'd be all excited because, you know, I can handle a flip phone, you know, but that's what the thumb does good. So they gave this to me, so I handed it to my youngest daughter and said, here, make me look smart, you know, because I don't even know how to turn this stupid thing on. So if somebody wants to Google real fast, no room, and see if there's a verse that comes up in Corinthians someplace, that's the verse I'm looking for. I don't know what I did. I threw away my original notes. I should have kept them. These are the rewritten ones. And so I probably wrote these without my... I'm just killing time here waiting for somebody to bail me out, man. It really is a good verse. I got to find it. Okay, if you're not going to help me, I'll do it myself. What? Didn't I say 7-2? Oh, but you're saying 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 2. That's where I am. Receive us. We have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. That's 2 Corinthians 7:2, right? See, they came up with the same thing. I don't know. All right, you're going to have to take my word on this and go, yeah, right. There is a verse in Corinthians, verse or second, I don't know anymore. But the concept is this, and I really apologize. The concept is this, to make room in your heart. That was the phrase. Make room in your heart. You know, maybe you can't come up with all the financial answers right now. You know, maybe you haven't even begun to create that financial space, margin, God margin in your life. And maybe there's other areas of your life that's, you're not going to have a chance to begin physically, you know, putting into practice and creating that space. But I don't think it even begins there with that first step, that first tithe check. It begins in your heart. It begins right here, right now, where you say, God, my finances are a mess. I've tried. I've tried all I know, and it just seems to keep getting worse and worse. God, my marriage, it's just too much tension there. It's just not fun. My home life, my kids, whatever it is, the depression, what the anxiety, the fears, whatever it is, you say, God, right now, in my heart, in this area of my life, I want to let you in. I want to begin to create room for you, God, to do what only you can do. It's where it begins, in our hearts, and make that decision. You know, the interesting thing is, though, if you make that decision to create space for God, then that typically means something has to go. You got to get rid of something else. Because your life is already packed in there. You're already suffocating. You are already the avalanche victim. There is no room to move. Something's got to be removed to start creating that space. You know, it begins with this. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart by faith and be your Lord and Savior. You know what? You're out there on your own. There is no God space in your life. There is no God margin in your life. You don't even have God in your life. You might know about Him, but what I'm talking about, have you created a relationship and started a relationship with Him? That's where it starts. You got to at least let Him be a part of who you are. You got to at least have to have that new life in His Son, Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for your sins and my sins. Have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you're not even sure what that means, in a few moments when we have an invitation time, there's going to be some people at the back of the auditorium. They're going to be ready to just meet with you, open up the Scriptures, pray with you, help you to understand what it means to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So it begins there. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it might mean that you... Did you find the verse for me, Alex? What is it? Oh, that's what it was. I was looking in another version. Thank you. But if there's another area of your life, then maybe you've got to get something out so God can have that space to start working. If it's depression... I know we've all battled with depression at times in our lives, and some of us it's chronic. But maybe you just need to come today and say, God, I don't want this anymore.
I'm done with this. God, please sneak in. I'm opening up the door. It's just a little crack, but God, come in. I'm trying to create space for you, God. I don't want to do this by myself anymore. Let him in today. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's this bitterness. Maybe there's this rivalry and this conflict that's been in your life or your marriage or your home or your family for so long, and you've been holding on to it. These people, man, just God give me 10 minutes with them and justice will be served. Well, maybe they deserve it. But that's not your place and mine. So lay that out there and say, God, not anymore. I'm not gonna live with these feelings. I'm not gonna let this wrong that was done in my life direct me and form me and mold me and shape me who I am anymore. No, God, I'm releasing that. This, it's yours. I'm creating the space. I'm giving that up and asking you to come in place of that bitterness or that anger. Maybe it's been hard for you to forgive somebody for something they did, rightly or wrongly, whatever it was, but just hard for you to come to that place and just say, hey, I forgive them. Whether you're able to do that physically, in person, face to face, start right now in your heart and say, God, I don't want to be mad at that person anymore. I don't want to hate that person anymore. I want to forgive them. God, in my heart, right now, I'm creating a space. Give me your grace, your power, your love to be able to genuinely forgive them. Create that margin in your life. Frustrated, overwhelmed, whatever it might be, you need comfort, you need peace, you need tranquility, you need to feel like you're safe and secure. Quit turning to the other alternatives in your life. Quit choosing the bottle. Quit choosing the chemicals. Quit choosing the professional counseling. Take a moment and say, no, God, in this moment, I choose you to deal with this problem. Now, if he directs you to the counseling, can you continue with that? Excellent. I'm not saying don't get counseling and don't get help. What I'm saying is create right now room for God to work. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed. As Ron continues to play, if we're all honest, there's not enough God margin in any of our lives. Don't, if you feel comfortable with your relationship with God and the space that He has in your life, let me challenge you this. If you feel comfortable there, that's great. How much more exciting will it be if you give Him a little bit more of your life? A little more room and space. Test Him. Try Him this morning. I challenge you. Whatever area of your life that God's challenging you with, the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, brought that to your mind, illustrated it for you in your own life, give God that margin, that room to work in your life this morning. If you need to come down front and pray, there'll be people ready to pray with you. If you want to go to the back and meet with one of the counselors there, they're willing to spend some time with you also and pray with you and help you figure out what the next step is for you. But I challenge each one of us this morning, create some space for God to work in your life and change your life for the good. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Forgive us, God, for so many times that we have just squeezed you out of the picture, thinking that we were doing the right thing, trying to be good, trying to be better, trying to be responsible, Lord. And yet, if we're honest, and we look at it from the light of your scriptures, many times, God, all that we have done is squeezed you out and not given you the chance to show up and just do what only the one and only true, living, powerful, miraculous God that you are can do in our lives. God, I don't know the needs of your people this morning. There might be one here today that does not know your Son as your personal Lord and Savior. God, I pray that margin and that relationship would be established today. God, tug on their heart with your Spirit and your truth. Help them to see their need to confess their sins and call upon Jesus Christ and place their trust in him and his completed work on the cross, exchanging their guilt for their sin for that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then God, for those of us who know you as personal Lord and Savior, whatever area of our life that we're struggling with, whether it's finances or family or the work or the home, children, just our own mental state and emotional well-being, God, I pray that right now in our hearts that you would give us the courage and your grace to say, you're in, God. Amen. I'm opening up the door. Please, move and work as only you can. We love you, God. We want to trust you more. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Help us to trust you more. It's in your Son's precious and holy name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to come as Ron sings or plays, again, the altar's open. There's counselors in the back. We're not going to delay long. We're going to wrap this up, but more than the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, if God's challenging your heart, start now. Let him in. Begin now creating the God margin in your life, in all areas of your life. He will not let you down. It's the right thing to do.
I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet. I will worship you. Presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By your power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your Spirit, I am free, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for answering our prayers as we cry out and we turn our thoughts to you and we open up our hearts and invite you in, God, not only as Lord and Savior, but just once again to be a part of our thought process, our decision making, to be the answer to our problems, Lord, to be the solution, to be the healing that we need in our lives and in our hearts. God, thank you for being faithful and for answering that invitation as we invite you in. God, I pray for each individual here and the families that are represented that this week, as they continue to create that margin for you to work in their lives, God, you would just show up in miraculous ways and that their faith will be encouraged and strengthened and they will continue this as a lifestyle, to continue to create a greater and greater margin for you to work in their lives. Lord, thank you for the faith that we have. Forgive us for our lack of faith in other areas. And then grow our faith, God, that we might trust you more and enjoy the abundant life that we have your Son in your Son's Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.